be real long. I'm going to try to go fast. You know, someone said, okay, every preacher says that. But, you know, it's kind of like a little boy. I don't know if I told this the other night, but the old-time preachers used to take their watches off and lay it on the pulpit so that they could keep track of time. One little boy said to his mother, said, "Mom, what does it mean when the pastor takes his watch off and lays it on the pulpit?" And his mother said, "Absolutely nothing." So anyway, go with me to the book of Joel. You know, Dr. White over here just really messed with me a while ago when he testified. Brother Scott knows. Brother Scott looked at me because we'd been discussing something. And I may kind of intertwine some things that he said, alluded to in this, but Joel chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 17, and I want you to hear it tonight. Joel, some of the old timers would say Joel. Joel chapter 2, 12 through 17. And this is what the prophet penned. "And therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart." Notice what he said, with all your heart. How many knows it's all your heart? It's an all your heart thing. Salvation is all your heart thing. "Turn to me even with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments." You know, when Peter preached at Pentecost, he preached a message that said, and it pricked their hearts. It pricked their hearts. And that word "prick" means to cut in two. What Peter said, it cut into their hearts. "Rend your hearts, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth to the chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest and the minister of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God?" Notice Joel was calling a solemn assembly, and he was calling everybody. He was calling the old, the young, the middle age, all the children. Nowadays, when people go to church, nowadays, not in every church situation, I would say probably basically, and especially the larger churches, a family does not know how to worship together anymore, nor is there an assembly of the family anymore, because when people go to churches, everybody goes a different way. The adults go in the sanctuary, the little children go to super church, the youth go their way. But here the prophet is saying, I want you all. I want everybody. I want a solemn assembly of everybody. I want the young, the old, the middle-aged, the babies, and all. I want them there. And tonight, I guess, if I had a message or a title, it would be, "Where is your God?" Because that was a question that was asked at the end of verse 17. And the prophet Joel, let me give you a little info here. The prophet Joel lived in a day of calamity and crisis, as we are seeing in our country today. He called upon God's people to repent. And how many knows that the clarion call should be the same today, calling people to repent? He called on them to repent, and he pleaded for a sweeping revival in chapter 2, verse 16. He called for a weeping revival in chapter 1, 13. And he called for a reaping revival in chapter 2, 18 through 32. He called upon God's ministers to pray a prayer that is as timely today as it was then. Folks, listen to me. I'm not into other translations, as I said the other night. I started with King James, and I'll end with King James. And I'm not part of a Bible of the Month club or whatever. But I read this verse, 2:17, in another translation, which is older than all the new ones today. And it's Moffat's translation. You have to go way back with Moffat, for Moffat. But this is what he said about that verse 17. He said, "Eternal One, O spare thy people, leave not thy heritage to be taunted, to be a byword among pagans. Why should the nations sneer? Where is their God?" So in other words, the prophet is saying, I'm tired of the heathen saying, you claim to be God's people. Where is your miracle-working God who led you out of Egypt? Who led you through the Red Sea into the Promised Land? Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Solomon, Elijah, and Elisha, and all? Don't let us be a laughing stock. This is what he's saying. Don't let us be a laughing stock to the nations. Today, a pagan world is saying to the church, where is your power? Where are the miracles? What you have? This is what the pagan world is saying. What you have is a dull, dry program carried on by promotion. You started with an experience, but now you only have a performance. Most of what you can do can be explained on ordinary grounds. You don't need God to do most of the things that you're doing. The world is turning to scientists, educators, and other secular means saying, your God is dead. Church, hear me please. I'm not disturbed by the man who thinks that God is dead. For the Bible says, a fool has said in his heart, Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I'm not disturbed, brother Dr. White. I'm not disturbed by those type of people. I'm disturbed by the one who says that God is not dead, but lives and acts as though he were. That's the people that disturb me. The business of the church tonight, and we have seen it this week, and you see it all the time. You've seen it before I ever came. But the business of the church is to demonstrate God. The business of the church is to demonstrate God, and you cannot demonstrate God without the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. We cannot demonstrate God. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar, and in the study of that word peculiar, that's not talking about a city up there by where I pastored or whatever, but you're a peculiar, a beautiful people, that we might show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Hallelujah. That's the demonstration of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. David tackled Goliath. And he said this in 1 Samuel 17:46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. On Carmel, Elijah prayed, let it be known that this day that thou art the God in Israel. 1 Kings 18:36, Hezekiah prayed, save us that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord's. Isaiah 37:20. Folks, listen to me. What we call the Lord's Prayer, really the Lord's Prayer is John 17. But what we call the Lord's Prayer, it starts with, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. And all folks, listen to me. It was Sunday night that we sang that song, hallelujah, thine the glory. And how many knows that it's His? Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Our business is to demonstrate God. To demonstrate God. But the church today in many fronts is not operating on a miracle basis. Too many troubled Christians are asking like Gideon, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us often? Folks, we've read about miracles. I've seen miracles. How many? There, you know, I was so impressed last night. We saw the result of a miracle last night. We heard the testimony of our sister tonight. But there's a miracle tonight through this young man here whose mama had been praying. The church had been praying for a prodigal to come back to Jesus Christ. And then last night it was exposed and told that through that prodigal list, Sister Angela, I think, pulled it out of the pieces of paper that she had. And there in here in our midst stood this young man who's a result of the prayers of this church, who's a result of the prayers of his mama and his grandma and the pastor and all. Here he sets tonight a new name written down in glory. Hallelujah. And it's his. Hallelujah. All because that this church dared to demonstrate the power of God through prayer. People join church today on an easy profession of faith without becoming new creatures, without old things passing away, and without becoming a new one. We are busy promoting an impersonal institution instead of reproducing a personal experience. We are operating by the same power that drives civic and community and social centers and so forth. People should leave the church. We should leave this service even tonight. We left Sunday morning. We left Sunday night, Monday night, last night. And to God, we leave the same way tonight. And you leave the same way every service. By saying, it had to be God. What we experienced Sunday morning had to be God. What we experienced Sunday night had to be God. What we experienced Monday night had to be God. Brother Thurber could not conjure it up. I could not conjure it up. You cannot. Not even the music is wonderful and beautiful. And I love about this church and all your singing and all. I know your songs. But it goes beyond the music. It had to be God. It had to be God. For only God could have done this. Only God could have saved you, son. Only God can do what we have seen through our midst. Only God can perform a miracle. Only God could heal my body. Only God can save me. Only God can redeem me. Only God can fill me. Only God, we can say here, we should be able to say about every service, only God could do that. The surgeon that operated on me 5 times, cancer surgery. 1 9-hour long, another 5 hours long, the others 2 or less. A most wonderful doctor, surgeon, the best in his field. It was, Mary Beth may help me here, 21, 22, may have been 22, but he and his wife went to Colorado for a ski trip. Now you have to note he's one of the top surgeons in Kansas City, and he had to be vaxxed, he had to be boosted out the nose. I mean everything. But while they were in Colorado, they both contracted COVID. He's Jewish. He had been boosted and vaxxed and all. His wife, none. They drove home sick. He was sick. He dropped his wife off at the house. He went straight to the Menorah Medical Center, the hospital where I had my surgeries. He went straight there and they put him immediately into ICU. They vented him, trached him. He was in bad shape for 4 months. The doctor said he will not live. His wife one time was a Christian, but she converted over to Judaism. She began to contact me and converse with me through Messenger on Facebook and another means. And she said, he has spoken highly of you. I said, he should. He's operated on me 5 times. But the fact of the matter is, he was in bad shape. He was nothing but a skeleton of a man. He'd had 2 strokes, lost all functions, seizures galore. He is not going to live, they told her. He is not going to live. Now, I'm not one to say that God told me this, God told me that, or whatever, but in my conversation with her through Messenger on Facebook, her name is Carrie. I said, Carrie, I don't believe that Dr. Miz is going to die, but I believe that God is going to let him live. And Carrie, I know your background. Doc told on you. I know that you were one time a Christian, but now you're a Jew. But Carrie, when Doc lives and Doc comes through this thing, you can only say that when he comes out, when he walks out of that hospital, you will only be able to say that Jesus Christ did this in Dr. Mizrahi's life. And you know what? You can only but give God the praise to Jesus Christ that your husband is going to live and he's going to make it. He lived. He came through rehabilitation. He gained his way back. And now he's a whiz-bang with a Da Vinci robot that was in my belly for 9 hours. And the fact of the matter is, he's back at it. And you know what? I saw him last year. And he came in to do a procedure on me. And he said, he looked at me on the, he said, I think we're both miracles. I said, yeah. Yeah, we are both miracles, buddy. And you better give the credit where the credit is due. And the fact of the matter is, he says, and then my daughter worked for him for a while, and she said, Dad, don't say anything to him, because she knows that I talk a lot. And she said, don't you ever say anything to him if you ever see him. But I heard him saying through the walls at the office, I heard him telling another doctor, saying, you know what, hey, now don't you go around telling everybody I said this, but I believe if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. And the fact of the matter is, folks, we are here to demonstrate the power of God, and we cannot demonstrate that power unless the person of the Holy Spirit is in our midst. There ought to be enough divine electricity. There ought to be enough divine electricity in this building, in every service, to either give you a charge or give you a shock. Hello? You don't need to get charged up or shocked up. There ought to be that much in this building in the name of Jesus. So much so that the heathen and the pagans of this world would not question us, even begin to question us. Where is your God? Where is your God? Folks, listen to me. I've said it once, and I'll say it again. I'm not talking about so much this church, but the church world in general. But there's such a change in the world today, church world today, versus when I grew up. It's different. We've been talking about that. It's different. People go to church when they want to go to church. We went to church all the time. People ask me, what was your entertainment? Church. What'd you do last week? Church. Where'd you go last week? Church. What do you do for fun? Church. Am I right? It's church, 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 church. It's changed a lot nowadays. And if I was looking for recruits or whatever for this great army that I belong to, someone asked me, said, have you ever been a soldier? I said, yes, I'm a soldier right now, enduring hardness as a good soldier. But I said, if I was going to look for recruits, I sure would not go to a lot of churches, because a lot of people that call themselves Christians have gone AWOL, and they are MIAs, missing in action. There's no such thing as an inactive church member. You're either active or you're not. You're either in or you're out. You can't have it both ways. There was a young man listening to Paul preach. He was hanging out more than he was in. And the next thing he knew, he was out lying on the ground with a broken neck, dead. But thank God, Paul had enough of the power of the Holy Ghost in him and the person of the Holy Spirit in him that he went out and he raised that young man from the dead. And they could not even question, where's your God? Because they saw God in action right there. Right there. They could not even question, where is your God? And folks, listen to me. The church today is operating in the realm of... Wait, let me just say this. If other businesses... I know, Sarah, over here, you work for a corporation called Carter's or something like that. Does anyone else work for any corporations or whatever? Raise your hand. You work for large firms or whatever. But if these corporations or if these businesses operated the way a lot of the church world is operating today, they go broke overnight because they cannot keep. They cannot keep a faithful bunch or whatever in their midst at all times. I see some things today that perhaps I don't like, but God is still the same and He always will be. The prophets did not, folks, I can't accept the church's condition today as being normal. The prophets did not accept the religion of their time as normal. Our Lord did not accept the five of the seven churches of Asia Minor as normal. Paul did not accept Corinth as normal. And I am ashamed, and we all ought to be ashamed, and God's minister should weep between the porch and the altar, as the text says, and the altar crying, oh God, leave not thy heritage. We should be praying the same prayer. Leave not thy heritage to be a byword among the pagan sneering. Where is their God? Folks, listen to me. God is the last resort these days. And he's only wanted when people get into some trouble. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If there's ever a time that we've ever needed the Lord before, as the old song says, we sure do need Him now. Hallelujah. We need Him every day and every hour. And it's time, I'm going to tell you, it is time. You were singing some songs, and the old song was coming to my mind back there. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place, and we need to welcome the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our lives, in our place, in our homes, in our lives, in our family, in the church, each and every service. And we are here to demonstrate God and Noah, and we cannot demonstrate it. I'll say it again. We cannot demonstrate it without the power and the move of the Holy Spirit. We are depending on human experience, like David hauling the ark on a new cart. We have forgotten that if God is to get the glory, God's work must be done by God's people, God's way. And if it's not done God's way, then you know, let's close the doors and fill this building with soybeans or corn or whatever, because that would be a better harvest than what's here if we're not letting God have His way. An old infidel had a motto in his room that read, God is nowhere. His little granddaughter came to see him, and she looked at that motto and said, look, granddaddy, it says that God is now here. The motto read, God is nowhere. But now the little girl is reading it different. And she's saying, look, Granddad, it's saying that God is now here. How many would raise a hand and say, I want God now here. I want God now here. Folks, listen to me. We live in today in a world that is saying God is nowhere. It is the business of the church to prove that God is now here. Hallelujah. The word says that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He says, I am present. I am there. So often I've heard it prayed in the church, Lord, oh, be with us in this service. Church, listen to me. He is with us. I'm going to tell you, He is with us even if there's one, two, or three. He said, wherever two or three. He said, I am there. He is with us, but often we are not aware of Him because we grieve and we quench the Holy Spirit. Our pitiful devices to attract young people to church. Our projects to raise money. Our tricks to stir up jaded church members. Oh. And it ends up nothing on earth but being a substitute. Do you realize tonight, Brother Scott probably knows this, but do you realize that there's a great exodus in the Assemblies of God between the ages of 18 and 26? And they're leaving the church by droves. They're leaving them by the thousands, and these young people are saying, we won't be back. We are not going back. I'm talking about young people that I probably know and younger people that I probably know that came up underneath the ministry and all that. But here are pitiful devices. And one, I talked with one higher up and he said, you know what? The reason why they're leaving is because we can't answer their questions about creation. I said, that's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of baloney. That is a bunch of baloney. They're not leaving because I didn't answer a question about creation. They're leaving because you know what? They're tired of the pizza parties. They're tired of the light shows. They're tired of this and that and whatever. And they're talking about all the pitiful devices that you're using to try to get them when they're just wanting someone to love them enough to tell them the truth. That's what they want. They're the ones that are saying, where's your God? You talked about miracles. My girls, what they may even be listening tonight. My girls have seen the miracles. God forbid if my girls ever got to the place and said, Dad, where's your God? They've seen it enough. If I never ever saw another miracle, and I know that I will, but even if I didn't, I would still believe in miracles. I've seen the blinded eyes open. I have actually seen blinded eyes open. I've seen deaf ears unstopped. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen them carry a lady in. Nothing but she's no bigger around than that. Her body in a full brace. Cancer had eaten through her spine. Her neck, nothing but a pile of bones. Her family had already bought her tombstone. But her grave plot, and someone dared to believe about one of those, it was one of those evangelists, spooky evangelists I was talking about. Brother Orrin Beck. They brought her down, carried her on a gurney, laid her on the altar. Said we didn't know what to do other than to bring her here tonight one more time. They laid her on the altar. She was nearly unconscious, not even coherent. Brother Beck did nothing but take a big old bottle of oil, Brother Scott, and poured it on her from one end of her feet to her head. And he said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, cancer, dry up. Cancer, leave. in the name of Jesus, be made whole. She jumped up off of that altar and she ran all around that building and she lived another 10, 15 years and she did not die with cancer. She died from a heart attack. But folks, listen to me. Nobody could say that night, where is your God? Because they saw God demonstrated that night in that church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've seen the depressions. I've seen everything leave because God, I said it today. We saw it happen Sunday. God showed up Sunday. He showed up Sunday night. He showed up Monday night and Tuesday night. He showed up, but He didn't show out and He did not show off. As people are saying nowadays, God showed up. We don't need God to show out and we don't need God to show off because that's not what God is about. We just need Him here. Hallelujah. And if He's here, the world will not be able to question, where is your God? I'm looking at my watch right now, and that doesn't mean anything, but if we look back, I'm going to close with this. Brother Tim, get ready to come. But if you look back in the Old Testament, you'll see the time when Shishak took away from Jerusalem the golden shield that Solomon had made. And Rehoboam hung in their place brazen shields, not even silver. Not even silver, cheapskate. Not even silver. But he hung brass. The church has been robbed of its golden shields today. And instead of admitting it, we try to save face by substituting brass. I'm sure that when the Jerusalemites in Rehoboam's time showed their visiting friends that through the temple, they must have said, we've seen better days when the shields were of gold. Today, we are spending a lot of time in church scrubbing brass. We're spending a lot of time scrubbing brass. We work up a pretty good shine sometimes. Pretty good shine sometimes. But folks, let me serve notice to you tonight. Brass is not gold. The heathen must have sneered in Rehoboam's day. Time was when your shields were of gold. Where is now your God? Has he had a depression? Has God been bankrupt? Folks, the business of the church today is to get away from the brass shields and get back to the gold standard. Until we can do that, we'll continue to use substitutes. And substitutes will produce absolutely nothing. You'll have a form, but no power to go with it. It is time to pray. Lord, we will have the real thing or nothing. How many wants the real thing or nothing? I want the real brother. Jamie, come up here. Let's sing. You're going to sing something here in a minute. It's the real thing or nothing. It's the time to pray. God will have the real thing or nothing. No substitutes. There will be no. And you know what? The church world is so good. And the Pentecostal movement is so good about quoting the Joel 2:28. You know what? In the last days, He's going to pour His Spirit out upon flesh. And they're taking that out of context most of the time. But there will not be a pouring out of His Spirit. There will not be a Joel 2:28, 29 until there is a Joel 2:12-17. There has to be a solemn assembly. There has to be a repenting. There has to be a coming to the Lord. Our Lord said it was better that you be cold than to be lukewarm. And as long as we depend on our devices, God will leave us to those devices and the pagans will make a joke of our heritage and we shall be a byword among the heathen. It's time to meet the sneers of this unbelieving world that says God is nowhere with the song of a Spirit-filled church saying, God is now here. I am tired of all the defeatism about the church. I'm tired of hearing people say that I'm out of date. I may just be a dinosaur. I'm tired of people saying, oh, Terry, this is the 21st century. Well, big deal. God's word does not change. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. The grass withereth, the flower will fade, but my word will stand and be the same forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't care what the churches are doing to attract the masses, and the masses don't. A crowd does not mean one thing. But is God in the midst? Are they demonstrating God? The true church will never fail. And the gates of hell, let me serve notice to the devil tonight, the gates of hell will not prevail against the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to repent. We need to confess and forsake our sins and renounce the world and make Jesus Lord. Hallelujah. Make Jesus Lord and be Holy Ghost filled. And when we do, our heritage will no longer be a reproach, and no longer will the pagans and the heathen be able to sneer and say, where is your God? Folks, I said it. We're here to demonstrate God. Pastor Scott, I'm not saying this for any other reason other than this revival meeting just wasn't for these. This revival meeting was as much for me. In my own spirit. In my own spirit. And for Mary. To demonstrate His power in showing me that, you know what, Terry, you don't have to preach. Brother Jamie said last night, Brother Scott, you know what, the prophet is subject to the Spirit. The Spirit is subject to the prophet. I'm sorry. And the fact of the matter is that, you know what, it is important that the Holy Spirit shows up. I can stand up here and sing. We can sing all night long and work you up into a frenzy. And that's what we've been used to in the Pentecostal movement for years, working people up into a frenzy, running the aisles. And there's nothing wrong with that, Doc. I've seen it all my life. There's nothing wrong with that if it's God. I grew up with that. People being slain in the Spirit. But now you have to have catchers. My dad always said, let them fall. If it's a spirit, they won't get hurt. If it's not, they might deserve to get hurt. My dad was just an Ozarkian. That was my dad. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't come to work people into a frenzy. Sis, you know what? This church is about demonstrating God. And God's going to continue to demonstrate Himself and His Spirit. You do, as Doc said, as Brother Scott said, you make Him a person in your life every day. And you know what? You make Jesus Christ a person every day. And you know what? And when we do that, we can rightfully demonstrate the power of God. And you know, I'm gonna close with this, and I promise. There's people in this building tonight. You know, Brother Scott, I think so many times that the church just flies too low. And they don't fly high enough. We don't get high enough. And we're not using the music to try to get people high. And I'm not trying to, as I said, not trying to work you into a frenzy. You know, anybody can work somebody up into a frenzy. Hitler could do that. Stalin could do that. Mussolini could do that. Farrakhan could get up and do that. The Pope can have a million people outside his little balcony, and all he has to do is go, and they go nuts. We have to get up here and preach till veins pop out in our neck and our forehead and all that. And you know, people said, but the Pope can only go. And you know what? People go nuts. I can't figure it out. Man, what's so neat about, you know,
or whatever. We're not here for that. But to demonstrate God in such a way that there's going to be signs and wonders and miracles. And miracles are this spirit that we have felt this week. It's going to continue. But we fly too low at times and we don't get high enough. And I'm done. Let me finish this. I was going through the chemo unit one day. And everybody knew me. I had over almost 700 coins that I gave out to everyone in that chemo center. It said on one side, you can make it. And on the other side, it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. I would go in. I'd make my way in. The very first time there, I gave a handful to the nurses. I said, when I'm not here, make sure everybody gets one. And I said, if anybody needs help, you call on me. Often, when I'd go there, before I'd get juiced, for 8 hours, I'd have to sit there for 8 hours. They'd say, hey, Pastor Green, we got a new lady back here. Her name's Susan. She's scared to death. This is her first day. She doesn't know what to expect. Is there any way that you would talk to her? Sure, where's she at? Remember walking back there that day? Susan. Hey, Susan, I'm Terry Green. Hi, Terry. You're scared, aren't you? Oh, I'm scared to death. Got down on my knees, and I said, Susan, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? No. Well, you know what? If you just get to know Jesus, you won't be near as scared as what you are right now, because He's going to give you peace to help you through this. Hey, Susan, would you like to accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior? He died for you. He came, He lived, He died, He rose again. And you know what, folks? I said, Susan, it's going to be okay. She accepted Jesus Christ right there. Yeah. Let a 28-year-old Jewish Harvard grad. Hey, son, you're going to be okay. So skinny, so frail, bald, the chemo ravishing his body. But he accepted Jesus. It was a year and a half later, I was having a checkup. I was sitting at the desk checking in. And in walked a young man. His big, buff, muscles, hair, and all that. He looked at me and says, you don't even know who I am. I said, no, I don't. He said, I'm so-so. You led me to Jesus Christ. He says, I'm cancer-free, and I still know Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over 700 coins I gave out. But one day, one particular day, I walked into a cubicle where there was a man sitting, getting ready to get you, and he looked terrible. His brother was sitting here. His wife was sitting here. And I said, can I give you something? And the man in his frail, weak voice said, what do you want to give me? I said, here, take this coin. He looked at that coin. You can make it. I said, and you can. And he turned it over and said, shall mount up with wings as eagles. I said, and you can fly higher than you've ever been. And he goes, it's odd that you say that. I'm a pilot. I said, hey, you want to hear a pilot story? I said, I'm a preacher, but I've got a story for you. And his wife looks at me and says, we're Jewish. Let me just tell you, Brother Dakota, I found out one thing. They say in the military and war, there's no atheists in foxholes. Well, I found out one thing. There's not too many atheists in cancer centers getting juiced up. We're Jewish. I looked at her and I said, oh, that's okay. You're minus two people. Maybe you'll catch up. The Son and the Holy Spirit. She didn't get it.
But he said, I want to hear your story. I said, Ruth Graham Bell tells this story in one of her books. A pilot that they knew. He went out to take a flight one day just to relax and fly. He took off, hit the tarmac, took off, was up in the air flying. And while he's flying, he begins to hear some gnawing in the panel. And he began to think, there's a rat or a mouse in this panel. And he could choose a wire in two or whatever and cause destruction, cause me to crash. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, the words of my flight instructor came to me. And my flight instructor at one time told me, he said, if you ever think that there's a mouse or a rodent in the panel chewing your wires, he said, get the plane higher. Get the plane higher. A rodent cannot live in a high altitude. He said, I began to inch and climb the plane higher and higher and higher until the gnawing stopped. And he said, I enjoyed the rest of my flight, no fear. Then when I landed, my plane hit the tarmac, a small rat fell out of that panel. I said, sir, you have in you a cancer. I've got in me a cancer. I look at that cancer as a rodent. It's eating you, it's eating me. But I'm going to tell you, sir, you've got to get your plane higher. And I've got to get my plane higher. For the scripture says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Folks, you've been flying too low for so long. It's time to get yourself higher in the presence of Jesus. And when we get ourselves higher, we can surely and truly demonstrate God to the fullest. And the world will not be able to say, where is your God? Because God is now here. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I've been pretty high this week. But let's stay at that altitude. When I say high, I mean high in the presence of God. Now the world may not understand that fully. When I say high, but high in the presence of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. And let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Stand to your feet.